It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
So long, farewell, Peter's saying adieu. You know, this is what they're chanting over at Quartzsite, Arizona. Well, welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock from Phoenix, Arizona here, where we're dissecting a local small itty-bitty little town, maybe like one where you live. Because if you go down to the smallest level of government, let me tell you what you see. The same thing you see at a global level. International level, national level. Yeah, it's the same kind of thing. You got your Obamas, you got your Rahm Emanuels, you got your Dick Cheneys, you got your Holders, you got your Janet Napolitanos, you got. You know, the same thing, same reason. In fact, that's our farm teams. You know, and the worst of those is what goes up to the next level. That's how you recruit the big bad guys. You know, this is I recognized this in the early 90s as a young man. I was seeing what was happening. They would take people from their farm team here for the state legislature was the school districts, okay? The what do they call them? The school, what do you call them? The school district.
School boards.
Yeah, school boards. The school boards, they would not get paid. You know, now they have to appoint them. Nobody wants to do it, you know. But they go in and they, oh yes, I ran for it. I won so and so for school board, and they always have a pencil or a school bus or, you know, little children smiling faces, and you know, I love whoever the heck it is, and they elect them. They get in there and usually not run against anybody. It's just a name recognition thing. Make a big deal about, ooh, vote for me, and they're the only one on the ballot. They get in and they do all the scumbaggy stuff, approving all kinds of contracts, making sure so and so gets the construction deal at whatever, blah 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 blah. Spend lots of money. Lots of money goes through the school budgets. And if they toe the line and they're good doobies, well, then they get support for the next level, and the next level, and the next level. And they all got grandiose ideas of becoming governor and senator and president of these United States. And the bigger, badder people they are, the more you see them at a national level. Well, they're bucking for something in Quartzsite, okay? So here we go. Now, let's go ahead and talk about the council meetings and the people's involvement with this. You know, the kind of things that people are they supportive of you, or they just want to get their own voice out, or they just, you know, are you the lightning rod for this, or are you behind it, or is it just you're part of a much wider thing? What's going on?
Well, you know what? Before I was mayor, a lot of us used to get up to the podium at the council meeting and object, and the mayor was famous for saying, shut up and sit down. You know, you're out of here. Throw people out. My friend here is in the studio with us today. Was even arrested for expressing his opinion in the council.
Oh, really? Okay, well, let's go to that. And go ahead and give your name for the audience.
My name is Michael Roth.
Michael Roth. Okay, Michael Roth. You live in Quartzsite?
Yes.
Why? I mean, you're not even gray, man. What's up with that?
I met my wife there, and we got married there, and we decided to stay there.
Why?
I like it.
Why?
It's a small town. I thought it was, you know, going to be, you know, I grew up on a farm in a small town in Wisconsin. I thought maybe I was going back to my childhood, and it's worse than you can imagine.
Okay, so you decide, you know, hey, I found a small town. I like desert living. I like, you know, they ask Lawrence of Arabia. They go, why do you like the desert so much? Because it's clean. You know, yeah, you go sunbaking something. I guarantee whatever was on there alive is dead now. So you have the desert. You're out here. Cause a lot of people, I enjoy it. I mean, I like a lot of people don't really understand the benefits of the desert. And, when it's 115 for a few months, you know, that kind of sucks. But, you know, but even at night, it's nice. I mean, it's clean. I mean, right. Living out in the desert, I mean, there isn't anybody to bother you. Unless you're in Quartzsite and they get incorporated. Okay. So you're in Quartzsite, you get married, you're going to establish. I mean, you're what? In your 30s, 40s?
45.
45. Ooh, and good looking too. So we have 45, you're married, you're just wanting to chill in Quartzsite.
Right.
And then you start getting involved in politics because what'd they do to you?
Well, the politics got involved with me. I had no interest in it at first because, I believe in limited government. And they started bullying me from the moment I moved into town. And I said, what's going on here? I mean, we had a town manager who was also the town attorney, so anything he said went. And I started questioning. I'd go to the meetings. And
why was it? Building permits, driving around with, what? I mean, they targeted you because what?
Well, I brought down a couple semi-trailers and 10 vehicles. And, you know, I had a yard full of stuff. And they said, well, you got to put a fence around that stuff. So as I'm proceeding to put the fence up, I said, I need a couple more weeks, okay? And they said, we don't give extensions. What? You don't give an extension in Quartzsite? Nope. So if you don't put this fence up, you're getting a big old fine.
You know, I've been through this before. This is what happened in Apache Junction. You know, once you start getting a community and they bring in the city attorneys, city managers, which in this case happen to be the same guy, and they just do it because they can.
Yep, bullies.
Because they can.
Yep.
Just because they can.
Okay, so they messed with the wrong guy, and you go, oh, you want to play.
Yep.
Okay, so did they fine you?
Yeah, as I'm building the fence, two cruisers show up with the code enforcement guy, and they write me a $3,500 fine.
Whoa! I know why.
You questioned.
What? Because they can! Yeah. Okay, so they get you a 30. Wow, seriously?
Yeah, so they haul me into court. And they say, how are you gonna pay for this? I said, I'm not. And the judge even said, do you realize if you don't pay for this, I can take away your driver's license?
Okay, now which judge? Is there a...
Municipal.
So it's a court that has its own judge.
Oh, yeah, we have everything.
Okay. Wow. You know, what was it? What was it? First Samuel, I think. They go, we want a king, God. And he goes, no, you don't. Yeah, we do. We want to be like everybody. We want a king. No, you don't. Yeah, we do. Okay, you asked for it. Well, I give you Quartzsite. You asked for it. Here you go. Yeah, you can talk about all your water right stuff all you want, man. I'll ship it in. I'll go buy, I have 15 gazillion, whatever is coming out. Collect rainwater, which is illegal, by the way.
Right.
You know, that's a whole nother thing. Imagine that. You know, you're out in the desert, and this is how, arid countries and cultures around the world have done this. They have cisterns. They just collect, when it rains at one time, you can collect a lot of good water. Oh, no. The land, the water that falls on the land belongs to not you, even though it's your land. So that's a whole other issue we'll get into another time. So anyway, so they use this water thing to get you under control. So now you go to the judge and he says, $3,500, pay up, man, what's up?
She says, how are you going to pay it? And I say, I'm not going to. And then she tells me she's going to take my license. I said, go right ahead. I'll ride a bike before I give you a nickel. And they didn't like that answer.
I'm sure it's got a good ending and it built up. See, if you mess with everybody, sooner or later, you mess with the wrong person. That's what always happens. We'll find out what happened when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, Ed Foster, Mayor Quartzsite, and his friend. We'll introduce again when we come back.
Mark.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. And in studio, I have Ed Foster. He's mayor of Quartzsite, and he's just a citizen activist out there. Gets said, you know what? The people want me to go in here and give them what for, and they went. You're not allowed. We're going to take away all your powers as mayor, and because we can't. And then so he does a blog, and it's called Mineshaft. Quartzsite Mineshaft. You put in Quartzsite Mineshaft, you'll find it. Now, what happens is that you have other people there, too. Well, Michael Roth is in, and we found out that he moves out there. He's homesteaded, man. You know, I got my place. He brings in a couple 18-wheelers, you know, with full of goodies and some cars and gotten in. They said, oh, no. You thought you owned your land. You're not allowed to do that. So build a fence. Okay, I'm building the fence. Hey, can I have extensions? It's taking me a little longer to build the fence. I'm starting the fence. I got the fence. Nope, no extensions. Boom, $3,500 fine. Goes to the municipal judge. Of course, you know, now you got a municipality. You got a municipality town manager. You got a municipality, you know, attorney. In this case, they wind up being the same person, right?
Yep.
So then they go and they said, yep, and we got a, you know, our buddy with the shiny badge and the gun, and they drives the enforcement guy out there, which that's another, you know, neighborhood zoning enforcement kind of somebody. That's another job they create. And then they find you. You go before the municipal judge, which, you know, they're all, you know, drinking lattes together. And they say, she goes, yep. $3,500, 36, however much it was, says, you know, fork it over. How are you going to do that? And what'd you say?
No.
And they go, oh, we can do something to you then, because I have the power. What were they going to do to you?
They're going
to
take my driver's license away. And I said, go right ahead. I'll ride a bike before I give you a nickel, because what's happening here is totally wrong.
And then what happened? How long ago was this?
That was 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
So for the past 2.5 years, what's been going on with that case?
Well, they kept dragging me back into court. I'm up to $8,500 in fines in that town. And the last time, they tacked on another $5,000. They brought in a judge from the county seat, and total kangaroo court. And he says, and he's expecting me to say the same thing to him. He says, how do you propose to pay for this? And I said, well, I'm going to appeal this one. Okay, go around the corner, pay your $25 fee, and, you know, you go and appeal it. So I'm sitting there waiting at the window and waiting and waiting and waiting. And so 15 minutes, I knock on the window and said, I'm not going to wait all day. Give me my paperwork so I can get out of here, okay? Judge comes out and says, well, we're trying to decide whether you can appeal it.
No, we're going to decide whether we're going to give you the paperwork to appeal it.
And they never did.
You know, the most important outcome of this was, Ernie, that Mike wanted to run for office. And when he went in, they passed an illegal law in Quartzsite that if you owe fines or taxes to the town, you cannot file for office. This issue has been brought up before the Division I Appellate Court, denied any further appeal at the Supreme Court, that towns and cities and counties exist under a contract granted by the state of Arizona. And they are possessory of no power not granted to them in the general laws of the state. The state did not grant the town of Quartzsite the authority to change the law as to who can run for office. But they did, and they denied Mike his civil liberties. And
okay, so, have you sued on that point?
No, that's coming because I got arrested for speaking at town council meetings.
All right. We're building up. Okay. So then you go to a town council meeting and you go, you guys all suck, basically.
Not in those words, but close. You
know, that's how they took it,
I guarantee it. Yeah.
So they go, you're not allowed to say, did they recognize you or did you just stand up?
Well, it got to be so bad. At one meeting, I was speaking against the chief of police, some automatic ticketing system he was trying to get for the police cruisers and some deal, and I went up to talk about how wrong it was, and the chief of police was standing behind me with his finger to his throat saying, cut him off, to the mayor. I got 45 seconds into it, mayor raps a gavel, you're out of here, we don't need to hear that kind of talk. And there's a big old brute of a cop about ready to tackle me. So I walk out, and then I wasn't going to go to any more meetings. I had enough government. Okay, I had ran for the board of supervisors, lost by 26 votes. And I said, this is it. You guys, you know, you get the government you deserve. But Thomas Jefferson's birthday, I go, and I'm going to give a little presentation on how far we've gone. And I was going to talk about, you know, what Thomas Jefferson stood for.
Okay, where? At the
town
city council?
Council meeting, okay. Yeah. And they go into executive session, and it kind of became a free-for-all, everyone talking. And the chief was hell-bent on arresting someone that night. And that's a fact. And I was the lucky winner.
Arrested you for what?
Disorderly conduct and then resisting arrest, which is a felony, and I have a trial coming up on the 7th.
And before get, who?
What?
Does it go Superior before the, Court? Superior
okay, so
Court.
It's going into yes. which county? Yuma County?
La Paz County.
Okay.
But get this. The town's prosecuting attorney dismissed the charges in the name of justice. The chief of police goes to the grand jury and gets me indicted at the grand jury. So now I got to deal with government again.
And actually, Ernie, the Arizona Supreme Court has upheld that you can say anything between the gavel that brings the meeting to an order and the adjournment gavel. Free speech is the most protected form of speech in a public meeting in Arizona. You can pretty much accuse someone of having
blah, blah, blah. So ask Michael.
Yeah, they do whatever they want.
His arrest was illegal, yes.
Now, it's, you know, it drives me crazy. People will say, well, that's unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional. Let me tell you what's constitutional. Everything they say is. Because what did they do? They allowed the judges to determine whether it was constitutional or not. Yep, say it's constitutional, therefore constitutional. Have a nice day. Life sucks for you. So don't just nice try, Ed. You know, well, how's this been working out for you, man?
Actually, Monday this week, there was a hearing where the county attorney wanted to deny a freedom of speech violation to be brought to the jury in this trial next week.
And I was denied it.
No, it wasn't. It was not denied.
No, I can't. They can't use it as an argument.
They can't use it against the argument for resisting arrest. They can't use it against the argument. So the jury will hear that there was a freedom of speech issue involved.
Yeah. My main concern is the resisting arrest, which is a felony.
Yeah, no. They always get that in. And were you?
I was sitting down when he arrested me, and he went to cuff me, and I pulled back. Resisting arrest, pull back. I put my arms back like, what are you doing? I was shocked. I'm being arrested for this? Give me a break. Is this America?
Yeah. See, they want you to, you just walk right in, man. Walk right in, sit right down.
In Quartzsite, we have video cameras. There's video camera evidence of everything.
You know, it'll be interesting. Are you going to be going for a jury or a judge trial? Or
8-person jury.
This will be interesting. You know, I want to know what's going on. Well, tell me, you know, the recourse for all of this is recall.
That's it.
So who are the candidates that will seek to run against these guys? Because in a recall election, you have an election where they go up, but it doesn't make any difference if there's nobody else there running.
We're working to try to find honest people with integrity to fill those seats, you know, to run against them. And the election won't be until the spring.
See, prior to this, we had problems finding candidates who'd run because nobody wants to get involved in this stuff. But people are starting to get upset enough to where and the tyranny's coming to them. So people are going to run, I believe.
You know, it's been a double-edged sword, Ernie. We've had such a riot situation in the council meeting that some of the people that said, I want to get on the band here and help out, okay? Some of those have been said, God, I'm not going to get involved in this mess, and backed away. On the other hand, some people have said, I can't believe it got this bad. And they're jumping in now and saying, yeah, I want to get in there and run against them and do something.
You know, what we're going to talk about when we come back is the election fraud. Because when you're dealing, I don't even have to ask you. I already know where this is going. Because as you have the same people in charge of everything, well, guess what? You're going to have a city clerk that's going to be in charge of the elections. I know where this goes. And you're going to find out. And I get to say, Neon, I told you so. Or you can come back and say, ha, Ernie, you were wrong. We got what we wanted in a fair election. Really, we'll find out.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me, cause I'm having a good time. Having a good time. Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger.
Oh, we got Law Defiers here in the studio on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, where we have a small town near, well, it's kind of getting over towards the border with California called Quartzsite. Small town of 3,500 people that blossoms in the winter months to over 100. How many people have you had there at peak sometimes?
Probably half a million.
Half a million. Million people. Half a million people come out there to just, you know, chill in the desert. They got their RV and they come out there be chilling. You know, this is, and which means there's a lot of money to be had. How are we going to get some money? We're going to get some money for, you know, we're living out here, got a few people. You know, we'll incorporate. We'll become a town, a city, and then we'll charge them for, I don't know, whatever we can. We'll get them parking tickets. Yeah, we'll get it for, you know, we want to have an automatic ticket writing thing go in my car. I just sit here and everybody drives by and get a ticket, you know, for whatever fill in the blank reason. Yeah, because, you know, Rahm Emanuel, you know, Pinky approved this, whatever, it writes them for whatever.
Absolutely. Parking tickets are a big revenue source. Also, the people that used to come out there and throw a blanket on the ground and sell their goods to the other guy, one man's trash being another's treasure. They also now got a vendor permit.
How much is that?
It's $50, not a bad deal.
$50 for how long?
You got to understand, it was for an annual permit, but just recently they brought it before the council. They wanted to change this to a 180-day permit. So now the vendors that came out there were really happy to get a $50 permit that lasted all year, and they didn't think they'd be upset that that same $50 was only going to buy them 180 days, but they could buy another one if they wanted to stay longer.
Well, you know, all right. So Michael Roth is, you know, goes out there to get away from the man and found, man, he had a big, giant, heaping dose of man, all right? So now you're involved. You go, okay, you want to play? I'll play. So you become activist, and you go and register people to vote. You start getting people run for office. You go, you want to, I'll play. And usually that's all it takes is one guy with some time and just go out and do some butt whipping. Well, they go, oh, we're going to make your life a living hell. And I'll bet you they're checking everybody you register. They want to check and make sure you're eligible to even register people. And then you can get the signatures for all these petitions. And you, so that, man, you are target enemy number one.
That's right.
Actually, it works out that anybody in the community that supports me or works with me is a target of their work. Either the building code enforcement officer, the chief of police, or the courts. They're on them. Tax collector, they're audited. The building code enforcement, they didn't bill that right.
Well, we knew how bad it was going to get when they started going after the press. You know, a good friend of mine, you know, I've known for 15, 20 years. You know, he's like a nomad going out there, just does a newspaper here or there or whatever. During the winter months when there's a lot of, you know, there's 500,000 people out there, he does this little newspaper, just said, yeah, go buy your trinkets and trash from the guy with the blanket over there, you know, and they go, and I got this to sell and this guy over here and so on. He sells ads, makes a decent living. Well, what happened was is they didn't like some of his political views. So they're going, no, you got to get a permit. You got to get a this, you got to get a that. And finally, it was a Goldwater Institute that took on, I put them, you know, hooked them up with Goldwater Institute and Institute for Justice, and they became his attorneys. They filed suit and won. They go, nice try. Okay. Well, that doesn't stop them. They'll get you on something else. I don't know. You're driving around while driving around. So we're going to give you a ticket. So this is, I've already been through this several times in small communities, and eventually gets to the point to where they get a large enough group of people that support them, or they get enough jobs for people. They get a voting block. They do whatever. We're going to give you schools and sidewalks or whatever out in the desert, which is the whole reason why they went out there, get away from all that stuff. And then they're able to build on it. But I'll tell you, the biggest reason why I know that they are is because they control and run the elections.
Yep.
It's a city clerk that is the one you go in. So tell me about elections. You know, I already know where this is going. Now, you got elected. And it was overwhelming. You had a whole bunch of people saying no. So how many votes were cast in your election, and what did you win by?
I think the total ballots cast was something like 652 or something like that. There was 54% voter turnout. And one of the ways we won, between Mike and I, we registered probably 200 people, Mike, right with them.
Yeah.
And they... We campaigned as we registered them, and the incumbents thought they had this election knocked. They told people it's in the bag. We got it made because they had all these early voters that they knew they were going to go out, little old lady, and get them to fill out their ballot.
Yeah, playing early voting thing.
And
okay.
Number one way to commit fraud is.
They thought they had it made. Shows on that.
And actually, we by we put out a flyer, call us and we'll tell you how to get an early ballot or an absentee ballot. And we match them vote for vote in the early balloting. And in the general polling of place, I actually won in the polling place. The polling place, we actually electioneered outside the polling place all day. And there was a 27-vote margin in the total election at the end. And we actually tied at the early voting. And they thought they had it. They went around to people and said, stay out of the way, and you can stay in court sight if you stay out of the way in this election. And they really were threatening people because they thought they had the election in the bag.
So we go to a recall election that will happen in, what, March?
March, yes.
So you go into March. Beware the Ides of March. All right. So you go into March. And, you know, that's a long time between now and then for them to do all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. So the incumbents will probably run unless they get indicted for something, which happens a lot. So then you go, all right, so you have them on the ballot. And then when are the filing deadlines for people to oppose them?
Well, we actually have two sets here because we had two early recalls. Mm-hmm. And that the filing period is going to be October 8th to December, November 8th. They get a 30-day period to file for those two seats. The other four seats will not be the certified by the county recorder's office until sometime in January, I think. So it'll probably be like January to February to file for those.
Well, you know there's going to be challenges and petitions. There's going to be lawsuits for blah, blah, blah. They're going to do everything they can to try and derail as much as they can. And then they'll start targeting people. There'll be threats. There'll be ticketing. There will be fines. Already, there'll be death threats. There will be all kinds of stuff.
That's already going on. Yep. Just today, I got three complaints from citizens who have been called because their name appeared on the recall list. And they've been threatened. Their businesses have been threatened. Their whatever has been threatened by the people that are being recalled.
Why? I mean, what is the...
There's some fraud going on. We can't get to the bottom of the fraud because he can't get access to the records. We don't know what's happening because he can't get access to the documents.
But he's the mayor.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
That and a dollar will get you a cup of coffee, as they say.
Wow. Yeah, if you go to McDonald's.
Okay. Actually, I got thrown out of the town manager's office by one of the councilmen. I walked in her office. He jumped up out of the chair at her desk and said, get the hell out of here. He said, we don't want you here. And then I left. And my friend said they called the police because they heard it on the scanner. Come to town hall.
Wow. I mean, tell me these people. We got six people, that's going up for recall. Well, I don't need the names. Doesn't matter. They're all the same as far as I'm concerned. But I mean, they come from what? I mean, what? Are they decent people that went bad, or were they scum that came in from outside? Who are they?
You know what happens, Ernie? I'll tell you. I just have to chuckle every time I hear it. Some lady, a businessman in town, the other day, said she wasn't getting a permit that she needed, and they were being nasty to her, and she says, I thought I was friends to the town manager. That's the secret. As long as they're friends and they're getting what they need, they don't care about the other citizens who are getting the shaft from town hall.
Most of these,
when it turns, the worm turns on them, then they're all shocked that this could even happen,
Mm-hmm. And most of these people were originally appointed, and then they won their election
Well, why were they appointed? By who?
Well, we had all those deaths and resignations over the last 2 years, and they kept putting their buddies in there,
And most people vote for the incumbent, so now they're there. But they're voting totally wrong. And I don't think they're all bad people, to tell you the truth, but they're just going along with the plan that they're being told to go along.
What plan? Being told by whom?
The town manager. They get their marching orders from the town manager before the council meeting starts.
The 911 psychic?
Yep, 911 psychic. She gives them their orders. And they go into her office before they go to council meeting, and they spend 20 minutes in there with her getting the orders on what they're going to do. Honest to God.
All right, so
that's
why,
an illegal meeting,
so,
by the way.
How old is she? Where's her power come from? How many friends does she have in low places? I mean, I don't understand.
The county administrator was her boss before she became.
How many little freaking offices do you guys create?
Too many.
I mean, you incorporate anything, all of a sudden you get this big giant list of government. It's 3,500 people. All right, I got a lot of questions when we come back. I'm going to start grilling. And do we need a government?
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, the show must go on. It's a really, 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 really big shoe at election time. That's all it is. Just here, take a look. You know, look over here. Oh, shiny object, as they stab you in the back. Okay? So this is, we're going to go through this process. We'll spend some time on this over the next months. You know, once every couple of months or so, it'll probably be at least, you know, two, three times we'll have you guys back on, you know, between now and March, just so I can get to say I freaking told you so. Okay? You know, that's where I'm going with this thing. Because here you have a city that was a town that's created under the structure that they have called the League of Cities and Towns or something, right?
Actually, it's created under Arizona Revised Statutes, under Arizona law. It's created.
Well, but the cities and towns, they have a predetermined cookie cutter structure that they provide for you.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. Now, this is why you look at that and you go, well, they just guaranteed fascist government right there. From the freaking beginning.
Model Cities and Towns Code, they call it.
Okay, but model, is it required?
No, it's just there. It's a cookie cutter. You can use
I say cookie cutter, different one. Start your own cookie cutting. Right. You know, create another one. Start over. You don't need all this stuff. Administrator, time manager, attorney. You need all that if you want the heavy hand of government to be forced upon an individual that went out there to get away from government. You need this structure to have government imposed to socially and economically engineer people the way they want. You need to have this structure. That's why it's structured that way, Ed.
Well, you got to...
I ain't got nothing.
Cities and towns are organized first by population. You can't have a city and town until you get to 1,500 population. And then you can't have a city until you get to 3,500, which we're on the cusp of being able to do that.
What's the difference?
The difference
more
is...
More government.
More layers?
Actually, no. The difference is if you're a small town, the form of government is pretty well fixed by state statute. If you're a city... Then you can become a charter city, and then you can write your own charter for how you want the city.
Oh, here we go.
More government.
But there are charter cities in the state that have their own.
Yeah, vote. See, the thing is that's, you know, this is going on, you know, my friend out in Tonopah. He went out to Tonopah, nothing, nobody, out in Lone Prairie, kind of, well, of course, you know, sooner or later, they already talk about we need to incorporate, and we need, and it's a whole bunch of people that's going to take the position exactly what happened in Quartzsite. They get to 3,500, do a city charter, and I talk to Bob, and I go, you know what? I can write that city charter. You get the city charter. They want to play the city charter thing? Oh, I'll write you a city charter. Thou shalt not ever be able to do anything. we can get to it. So the philosophical perspective, I would say, you would call yourself what, Ed? You're a mayor of Quartzsite, and I'm a what?
I'm a what?
Yeah, I mean, how are you identified? What party? What philosophy? What are you?
I'll tell you, Ernie, I have worked actively in both political parties in this, I say both because I know you're a libertarian, and I haven't done that yet. So, but I have been at work actively in both the Democratic and the Republican parties, and I do that because no party really fits me. I sometimes join this cause or that cause as I move because I'm interested in the cause, but I don't fit any cause.
Well, what's your main cause? I'm mayor. I'm going to what?
I'm a conservative here.
Okay.
I disagree with all this government handouts and bailouts and, you know, if we want it, we ought to pay for it right up front. And I think that's
so. It's a budget with you.
It's money, yes.
Okay, Michael, what are you?
Libertarian.
Which means what? I got every politician on the planet telling me how libertarian they are.
Yeah, well, I'm registered Republican because when Ron Paul ran for president, I decided I need to help the good Ron Paul out. The good doctor out, and I register everybody to vote independent because I think it's a better choice. It's still voting. We're not winning. In fact, we're going backwards. I believe in extremely limited government. We've got way too much government in our life. You can't do anything without a permit anymore. You can't even sell anything without, like Ed's, you know, saying we have
that which is not forbidden is required.
Yeah. I mean, it's insane what we've let happen in this country.
Okay, so we're building up. What's your plan for the election? Let's tell the bad guys what your plan is. We're going to have a we already did that. That's not a secret. Total recall.
We're going to win.
Okay, yeah. Well, you put people in, and then what? You become the bad guys? I mean, what are we going to do?
No, we're going to reverse all of these illegal laws they've passed. We're going to clean it up and put it back in the hands of the people. Some of these laws that they passed, we need to codify them by going through the initiative process, because once the people speak to something, then it's their law and they can't be changed.
You know, how many signatures do you need to put an initiative on the ballot? Not very many, I would imagine.
It's 25% of the registered voters. In any game you play, whether that's the state, the county, or a
small town. So that's 300 and whatever.
But it's still, we got 200 and some on this recall election. We got 200 signatures out of the required 160. But it was difficult. Took a lot of work.
It's difficult because people were afraid to sign because of the retaliation by the politicians. I mean, a lot of people are behind us. So I think maybe initiatives might work. But again, okay. It's a government process.
So now let's get down to the election. You go in there and there's going to be an election. How many precincts are there in Quartzsite?
Just one.
One precinct.
At large.
Okay, where is it?
However, a recall election, you're not running in a precinct. You're running against that seat. There are actually going to be six separate elections, one for each seat that's under recall.
Okay, but I mean, is it going to be separate balloting places?
It will be on the ballot. There will be six separate. You know, you're not. We're not.
No. I'm talking about when I walk down somewhere to vote. Are there six different places that I go?
One.
Or one?
There,
okay,
just one.
One place to go.
One place.
Okay.
Six separate issues that you have to vote on.
And they have this early balloting thing. I can tell you all about this early balloting thing.
That's how they got away with the last election.
Yeah, no, this early balloting, bad. I can tell you where to look, too. Tell you how to look. It's going to be interesting.
All right.
Now, who's doing the counting? Is it the city, or are they farming out to the county? The
county does it. Okay. And actually, people have questioned the validity of the voting. And I'm a computer engineer, and I've been there in the back room and seen, you know, you're, as a candidate, allowed to investigate. And undoubtedly, the computer voting machines can be tampered with at a national or state level, but it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to tamper with that machine, and I don't see that being done on a local level.
The ballots are done at a local level.
Yeah,
every single one. Let me tell you what happened. In 1994, I ran for Secretary of State, and in 06, we did videotaping the whole process. I wanted to understand. I go, got it. I see exactly what they're doing. What happened at the time when you do your logic and accuracy test, you know, they do that little dog and pony show that they do. It used to be that you had the city of Phoenix and the city of Tempe and the city of May. Every one of these little towns had their own city clerk, did their own election, however way they wanted to do it. Well, no, where are the elections done? They're done at the county. For president, they're done at the county.
Right.
For state, they're done at the county. And now they took all of that from every small community and they went to the county. So don't tell me, well, it's a small little. No, they're all done at the county.
I got a little story about that too. When this last election, I mean, 55% voter turnout is unheard of. I think we had the highest voter turnout in the state, didn't we?
Yep.
And so I contacted Bev Harris at Black Box Voting, mm-hmm. and she says, call this guy out here. He's in Apache County. He's an activist in Arizona. He goes, where are you from? I said, La Paz County. He goes, La Paz County. He knew all about it. He goes, let me tell you about La Paz County. It's the most secretive board of elections. He said he'd sit in on these elections, and he'd say they did some very, very unusual things out there.
The early balloting
is where you're at. That's where it's at.
That's where you're going to get screwed, right. Okay? And if you're going to be doing it, let me tell you what happened. Just give you a little heads up of how this works. In 1994, when they first started this, the Republican Party sent out to every registered voter a postcard saying, when they first did early balloting in the Symington administration, they said, well, just send in this postcard saying you want to get an early ballot. They sent in the postcard, and it was addressed to P.O. Box, blah, 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 Elections Department. It wasn't the county Elections Department. It was Elections Department of the party. It's even the Elections Department of candidates. They put these out, people, they request it. Then they take and they put them in a pile. They run them through a, had a barcode on it. They run it through a machine. It produces a list. They have a phone bank, and they call all the people, and courtside's going to be easy. And they call, and they say, hey, who are you voting for, and this and that, and whatever. And if they get the impression that you're voting for their guy, well, then they'll take that stack, they mark it, run them through the machine again, and it makes two piles. One pile they send in to send them the early ballot. The other pile goes in the trash. Because if you're not supporting that guy, well, you're not going to get the early ballot. Then you have the early ballot. You look at the address. They actually fill it out, do their I voted, and they send it in. Where does it go? It goes not to where they're going to count it at the Elections Department. It goes to a P.O. box at the post office. Why isn't a federal employee with all kinds of fraud and, you know, felonies and all kinds of stuff, if you don't deliver it, why don't they just have him deliver it to the county clerk's office where they're actually doing the elections, they're actually counting? No. They send a guy in a van to go to the post office to go pick it up. Nobody follows him. Right. Nobody knows what he's doing. Nobody knows what pallet gets switched out and whatever as they go to there. That's why they do it. And I'm going, so don't sit there and tell me how they're not going to do it, because they're going to send it. You look, I guarantee you, where they send that early ballot is going to go to the post office box. A guy in a van is going to go pick it up when they could have, with the, for the same price, have the postal carrier go and deliver it to the Elections Department.
The thing is, Ernie, you just have to outdo them better at what they're doing to win.
It doesn't even matter how much you outdo them. It's how much goes in, you know, they just take the entire pallet and switch it out.
Well, if you have your own system going, that's what, and basically.
Nah, see, I'm just, I'll tell you what I'm saying is you need people to go to the polls.
Yep.
You can do, you know, the early.